Come onto your hands and knees. Point the feet. Bring the big toes to touch. Bring the heels to touch. Bring the knees to touch. Start walking your hands backwards towards your feet. And I take my index fingers and I push my heels together. And you're going to come to sit on the tops of your feet. So you want to get your heels as close together as possible and come to sit up on the tops of your feet, which might be fun and might not be fun. So ideally, you would like your heels to catch on the insides of the sit bones, and then they'll open up the pelvic floor for you. But if this is just no fun right from the start, you can put a blanket between the calves and the hamstrings, or you can just come in and out of it as much as you want. So don't hesitate to not stay there, but try to spread all 10 toes open, sit up as tall as you can, find a little arch in the lower back. All right, then we're gonna switch that, and you're gonna come up and you're gonna tuck your toes under, and you're gonna try to get the balls of the feet to tuck under as absolutely, get the toes to tuck under as much as you can so you get the ball of the foot to the floor if possible. And again, you're gonna sit up on top of that. Sit on the heels, and right away you are most likely putting weight into one big toe more than the other, and try to really, even though that's going to be painful, get weight evenly into both big toes, squeeze the heels towards each other, not necessarily together, but towards each other. Awesome. And then let's switch. So you're going to point again. Point the feet, heels as close together as possible. You can pull the sit bones back and apart, spread the toes open, and now you can lean backwards if you like. It's all different for everybody, but let's say you wanted to, you can bring your hands onto the floor alongside your hips. You can lift the shins off the floor, which brings you deep into a top of the foot stretch, forefoot. You can even bring your hands off the floor into a balance, which brings your core into it. Hands can come into prayer in front of the heart. You play, don't overdo anything. Come on back up, and then come up again and tuck the toes under. And last one, try to get the ball of the foot to the floor. It doesn't mean that's going to happen. Sit up on the heels. Give that your best. Come out of that. Come onto your hands and knees. Try to find a tiny arch in your lower back. Spread the fingers open, but have the middle fingers parallel, the pinky finger in line with the outer edge of the palm, and the thumb not too wide apart. Take the right leg back and bring the right leg so it's just that the right foot is going to be the height of the right sit bone, and turn that right hip down. So this is just a lengthening of that psoas, not a ton of action. And lower the right leg. Try to take the left leg back with as little movement in the trunk and the core as possible. Left leg back to the height, heel to the height of the sit bone. Turn the left hip down. Try to keep the left heel or ankle, knee, and hip in one line. Lower the left knee. This time, right leg, left arm. Right leg, left arm. Turn the left palm to face your cheek. Turn the right hip down towards the floor. Flex the right foot. Try not to let the right hip drop lower than the left hip. So you're trying to get the sacrum flush to the ceiling and release. Second side, left leg back, right arm forward. Turn immediately as the left leg comes up. Don't let it come higher than the hip. Turn the left hip down. Both sides of the core equally toned. Try to get even space between the pelvis and the rib cage on both the left and the right side. And release. Cat and cow. Arch the back, lift the chest to look up. Round to look down. Point the feet so that they're very straight. Have the heels point straight up. You could have the toes tucked as well if you like, but make sure the ankles are straight so the heels point straight up. See if you can match the breath. Inhale and cow go very well together. Exhale and cat, but you can reverse that and switch that as well if you'd like. And then come back to center, come back to neutral. And you can always do these things with a blanket under the knees if you'd like. There's nothing wrong with that. Step the right foot forward in between the hands. Interlace the fingers on the front knee. And in this position, we're going to get into a psoas stretch as the front knee moves forward past the ankle. You could arrange the leg how you want it. You could take the back leg further back if you want a little bit. So interlace the fingers on the front knee and start to straighten the arms, which is going to extend the spine a little bit. Let the front knee go forward. The right knee can go past the ankle. We start stretching the back quad and the psoas. And I tend to internally rotate the left hip, internally rotate the right knee a little bit, pull the belly in and up. And I usually even take my trunk over the right leg a little bit in a bit of a twist or a lean to get more into that left psoas stretch and step back onto your hands and knees. Second side, step the left foot forward in between the hands, interlace the fingers on the front knee, let that knee go forward. And there's a sort of enveloping action that I'm always looking for, which is the left knee and the right hip moving towards the midline, though the left knee stays over the ankle, and then use the belly, tone the abs in and up. You can even turn a little bit. You're looking to get deep, long stretch through the right side and the right psoas, and step back, hands and knees. Step the right foot forward again. This time you're going to bring the arms up alongside the ears. The left knee can go forward past the ankle with the back knee down on the floor. Turn the palms to face each other. Turn the pinkies in slightly more than the thumbs. Here you can reach up as the knee goes forward and the spine goes forward and reach the spine up at the same time. Pull the belly in and up and find that enveloping action from the left hip turning forward and the right knee energetically moving to the midline. Step back, hands and knees. Step the left foot forward in between the hands. Bring the arms up alongside the ears. The left knee can go past the left ankle. Keep wrapping that right hip in, left knee in, pulling the belly in. Stretching the back thigh, stretching the psoas. The more you can get the inner thighs to move back and apart and screw the femur heads into their sockets, and in opposition to that, pull the abs in and up, you get a deeper and deeper stretch of the psoas. And step back, hands and knees. Now we're going to come to downward facing dog, though you can continue to do this stuff from hands and knees if you are so inclined. Oh, it does get a little harder. Spread the fingers open. Pinky finger in line with the outer edge of the palm, middle fingers parallel. Tuck the toes, lift the hips. Downward facing dog. Arms straight, legs straight, trunk straight. Let's find a good length for down dog. Come forward to plank pose. Move your shoulders directly on top of the wrists and have the balls of the feet directly under the heels. I think that's a pretty good distance for plank, and then pull back to downward dog. Don't move your hands and feet if you can help it. And you're going to maintain that length for your down dog. Step your right foot to the outside of the right hand. Right away, bring your awareness to the left groin. What's going on in the left inner thigh? And lift the left inner thigh up in space. Try to make sure that the pelvis is at least the height of the front knee. And then square your hips off to the left. So for me, the tendency is that back thigh sinks down, which puts too much strain on the quad and takes the psoas out of the work. Come onto your fingertips if possible. You could always use blocks. Lengthen forward. Extend the spine. Step back, hands and knees, or downward facing dog. Second side, step the left foot to the outside of the left hand. Press the left knee against the left arm. And again, lift the hip up, create space in that right groin and square the hips off to the right a little bit. Keep the left knee against the left arm. Trying to keep the right groin deep and the left knee against the left arm. Lengthen the spine forward. Open the chest a bit if possible. Your hands on blocks are fine. Step back. There's so much information to be gotten from how you go deeper, or if you should go deeper into some of these poses. Step the right foot to the outside of the right hand. Try to walk the right, have the outside of the foot on the outer edge of the mat, and have the knee against the arm. And now press the knee against the arm. So you're going to get the right foot parallel, right knee against the arm, lift the hips up, and square the hips over to the left. So you're going to try to line up left ankle, hip, and shoulder in one line without letting the right knee go out to the right. And then if you want to go deeper here, deeper means bringing the forearms towards the floor, either via blocks or all the way to the floor. The key is to feel what happens in your hip sockets as you start to lower. It gets really hard to lower here and keep the left groin deep and full, and it also gets hard to keep the right knee on top of the ankle without going sideways. So you're trying to keep the right foot parallel with the knee over the ankle and the left groin deep. And you don't have to go any deeper at all. Step back, downward facing dog. So second side with that variation, if you choose to go there, step the left foot to the outside of the hand. If you went, you're gonna do the same thing you did on the first side. Even if you can't get very far, I want you to try to feel the difference in the two sides. So set the left knee up, left knee against the arm. Lift the hips up a bit, square the hips off to the right, and as you start going lower, see if you can maintain parallel in the left foot, the knee over the ankle, and the groin, right groin deep. And the tendency is for the left knee to pull out to the left as you try to go deeper with an inability to maintain center. Step back, downward facing dog. Come onto your hands and knees. Come to stand on your knees with your hands on your hips. This is an interesting little exercise. Try to slide your right foot straight forward, not out to the side at all, just straight forward. And then come straight up to stand right through the midline. And then come back down again. Trying to do that through the middle as best you can. It's easier said than done. And then you're gonna really try to slide back. And now the right foot, so I am literally sliding the top. You're gonna lift, you're trying not to, but you're likely to slide to the left a little bit. Try to get that right foot straight, left foot on this side straight forward, and then come to stand straight up through center. Let's do it one more time, see how that goes. Come back to your knees any way you can, all right, as much through the midline as possible. Starting on the right, try to slide that right foot straight forward, knee forward, foot forward. Tuck the back toes, stand straight up. That's easier than getting the foot forward. Come back down, and you're gonna try to slide that left side and feel a difference, you know, like for me, the left side's really easy and the right side doesn't happen. Stand up straight. And let's stand in Tadasana. Stand at the front of the mat. Take the thighs back. Feel the groins deepen. So think of the anatomy of the leg. There's a femur bone. The leg bone has a ball at its top and it sits into a socket. And you're going to screw those femur heads into their sockets by taking the thighs back and apart. And getting the leg bones to sit directly under your hips. And if you can get your legs under your hips, the reaction is different for everybody. Very often that puts a greater arch into the lower back. Very often by pulling the psoas tighter, by getting the psoas to set back. And then you can feel this by toning your abs, either doing it like a crunching action, bringing the ribs down towards the pelvis or wrapping the belly in. But try to keep the legs back and lengthen and open the middle back. And that's a psoas stretch unto itself if you have a tight psoas or both psoas are tight. So trying to find standing through it with a tight psoas can be really difficult. Get the thighs back, which very often messes with the arch of the lower back.
Get space between the pelvis and the rib cage, toning the abs if you need to, but ideally not. Lengthen the back of the neck up. Pull the eyes up to a horizon line towards level. Inhale the arms up. Take the right wrist with the left hand. And we're going to say hello to Psoas's next door neighbor, the quadratus lumborum. Thighs back, front ribs down a little bit. Side stretch to the left. Side stretch to the left. Don't lock the knees if that's a tendency. Keep the inner thighs back, screwing those femur heads in. Drop the front ribs. Come on back up. Switch wrists. Thighs back, ribs down, side stretch right. Ideally, the hips don't move too much to one side or the other. They're static. Legs are solid, pelvis solid. Come on back up and release the arms by your sides. Trying your best to keep the knee and ankle and hip in one line. Bend the right leg back behind you. So, which for me, to be honest, I have to take my right knee slightly forward to keep the line, the leg straight. Take the foot behind you. Bring the left arm up to just help your balance. Turn the left hip and the left shoulder forward. Both hips pointing forward, both shoulders pointing forward. Left arm up. And this pose is not a variation on Natarajasana. Start pulling the right leg backwards. But there's no bowing forward. There's a bit of a back bend, so there might be more of an arch in the lower back, but the spine and chest keeps elevating. Turn the right hip forward. Turn the right shoulder forward. Pull the right leg backwards, not sideways. Tone the lower belly so the inner thigh goes back and apart. The lower belly moves in and up and is a deep quad and psoas stretch. And release. Bend the left leg back. Again, you're trying to keep that leg straight. Don't let the knee go sideways. Don't let the foot go sideways. Take hold of the left foot with the left hand. Bring the right arm up. The shoulders and hips are pointing forward. Point the shoulders forward, point the hips forward. Start taking the left leg backwards, just straight backwards. Try not to let the foot go out to the side. Try not to let the knee go out to the side. As the leg goes backwards, turn the left hip and the left shoulder forward. The whole trunk wants to point straight ahead. That creates the back bending action as the leg pulls to the back. Inner thigh back and apart. Lower belly toned. There is your psoas stretch. Pull on the leg, lift the chest, and release. Separate the feet mat width apart. So put the pinky toes onto the outer edge of the mat. And we're going to do a pose called the founder. This is from something called foundation training that I really love. Arms forward, trunk forward at about 45 degree angle. Stick your butt out and bend the knees, but the knees bend. This is an image, weird image. They bend backwards. Reach your hips towards the back wall. So you want to get your knees over the ankles as the legs reach back. Palms face each other. And then in extension, don't let the front ribs flare. Try to lift the wrists higher. Arms alongside the ears, but the rib cage doesn't lift. Stretch the legs a little straighter backwards. And keeping the arch in the lower back, if you can, bow forward over the legs. Bow forward to release, and we're going to come back up for two more of those. Arms back up, trunk back up, legs straightening backwards. Reach the groins back, reach the knees back. Trunk is up at like 45 degrees, and if you lift the trunk, it's the whole trunk, not the upper body. Don't flare the ribs. Turn the pinkies towards each other a little. Stretch the legs back. You should be always fighting to stay on your feet. And it feels like you're about to fall backwards all the time. Reach backwards through the hips. Reach forward through the arms. Reach the wrists up a little bit, but not the ribs. And bow forward. One more founder pose. Lengthen the arms forward. Thighs back. Trunk up, but the entire trunk lifting to 45 degrees. Wrists in, ribs in and down, and bow forward. Bend the knees, roll up to stand. Bring the feet together, take Tadasana. Thighs back, front ribs soft and down. Breathe easy. Separate the feet, mat width apart. Pinky toes on the outer edge of the mat. And now we're going to squat. So bring the hands in prayer in front of the heart. Muscles work in three different ways. They stretch eccentrically, which is they gain strength by stretching out. They stretch concentrically, which means they shorten to build strength. Or they stretch isometrically, which means they don't move, but they strengthen. And so now we're going to work pelvic floor with squats through eccentric and concentric contractions, which means you're going to keep your pelvic floor engaged the whole time. Tone the pelvic floor gently with the groins deep and the pelvis untucked so that when you do a gentle lift of the pelvic floor, there's no pubic bone involved, there's no sacrum involved, and it actually, you can feel it up in your lower belly. Tone that and squat. Lower the hips. The feet want to be equally turned open if they're turned open, and you don't want to fall over the left or the right too much. You want to stay centered. Press through the inner foot to come back up. You don't have to go all the way down. If you can go all the way down, that's great. Trying to keep the spine as straight up and down with an arch in the lower back. Lower down to a squat. You're going to tone the pelvic floor. You're going to keep it toned and come on back up. You're going to keep the pelvic floor toned. You're going to come on back down, but try to lift the pelvic floor as you go. Press the inner foot down to lift back up. Nice and easy. Slowly lower down. The knees don't collapse in. They don't collapse open. They don't want to go forward of the toes. Inner foot down to come on back up. Let's do a couple more. Reach backwards to come down. Think your knees are staying behind the toes, in line with the toes or behind the toes. Lower down, slow and steady. Pelvic floor is toned. Pelvic floor is toned to go down. Pelvic floor is toned to come up. One last one. Lower down and toned to come up. Back to Tadasana, feet together. So that are eccentric and concentric contractions of the pelvic floor, which are as good as it gets when it comes to building strength and tone there. Inhale the arms up. Bow forward over the legs. Step the right foot back. Downward facing dog. Come onto your hands and knees. Put a blanket under your knees if that is necessary or preferred. Step the right foot forward in between the hands. Keep the pelvis over the back knee and walk the right foot forward until it comes off the floor and it's flexed. The left ankle, you can use blocks for the hands. The left ankle stays in line with the left knee. Flex the right foot as much as you can. Flex it really strong. And then bow forward over the right leg. That's a deep hamstring stretch. Try to get extension in your lower back. Come on back up. Externally rotate the right leg. It's not so easy. Flex the right foot, externally rotate it. Nice. The tendency is for the hips to go over to the left. Pull your hips back to the right. Flex the foot, externally rotate. So you want to externally rotate through flexion. Square the hips back over to the right. One more time. Flex, externally rotate. Crank that open. Square the hips back to the right and back to center, hands and knees. Step the left foot forward. Walk the left foot forward to keep the hip over the back knee. Flex the left foot off the floor so that left leg is straight, the pelvis is over the back knee. Classic runner's stretch to start. Extend forward. Walk yourself back up a little bit, flex that foot even more and externally rotate it. With every external rotation, the hips likely slide over to the right, pull them back to the left. Flex the foot again, externally rotate. This should be a very sensational shape. Square over to the right. One more time, flex, externally rotate, square the hips, hands and knees, downward dog. Step the right foot forward in between the hands. Step the left foot to meet it. Inhale the arms up. Release the arms by your sides. Hands in prayer in front of the heart. Big toes to touch. Ankles to touch. Lift the heels, balance on the balls of the feet. Keep the groins deep. Squeeze the calves in. Stay grounded to the inside. Lower the heels. Lift the heels, squeeze in, ankles towards each other, deepen the groins, set the inner thighs back, set the psoas back, keep the spine long, nice. Lower the heels, and now we're going to do the same thing, but we're going to squat, hands in prayer in front of the heart, keep the ankles towards each other, lift up, you're trying to stay grounded to the inner foot, and bend the knees and lower down. See if you can go all the way down. The game is to keep the spine straight up and down. Stay even through both feet, even through both legs. Track the knees directly over the ankles or feel where you want to go side to side. And then press the inner foot down, squeeze the legs together. Come on back up. Lower the heels. Lift the heels. You're going to try to lower down again, track the knees directly over the ankles and the hips in line with the knees and ankles. Lower down, trying to keep the spine straight up and down. Press into the inner foot, lift back up. Lower the heels. One more time. Lift the heels, inner foot grounds, ankles stay in, bend the knees and lower down. And it's always fine to wait and catch up. We'll carry on in a minute if you don't want to do every instance and every variation. Try to feel when you're down if the middle back collapses. Stay long and open in the middle of the back. Press the inner foot down, lift up. Lower the heels, release the hands by your sides, Tadasana. Now we're going to step the feet open wide on the mat, turn sideways on the mat, step the feet wide apart, get as wide apart as is comfortable, and then maybe add an inch. Bring the arms out to the sides and up. First things first, stick your butt out and get to deepen the groins. Feel the inner thighs, screw the femur heads into their sockets, and feel that depth in the groins, and feel how before we move into the next pose, you can, both sides are deep. This is about to get more difficult. Point the right foot, bring your hands to your hips for a moment, point the right foot, and now feel what happened to the left groin and see if the left groin is still deep. Turn the left foot in about 45 degrees, which should help. Keep both thighs back in space, bring the arms up alongside, so the height, arms, wrist to the height of the shoulders and then about a half inch above the shoulders. Stick the butt out so both groins stay deep and bend the right knee over the right ankle without jamming the left thigh forward. If you can maintain that, you are activating and using the psoas on both sides of the body in a really nice way. Now for some, if you're tight, you're gonna get pitched forward to do that. Release the arms, stretch the right leg straight, Switch the position of the feet. Point the left foot, turn the right toes in. Lining up your heels, pretty good bet for a decent alignment. Bring the arms out to the side. Make sure that back foot is turned in slightly. Deep in the groin, stick the butt out so the right thigh is as deep back and open as the left. Bend the left knee over the ankle. Feel what it's like to have the back leg in the right spot so that back thigh is deep, the back ankle, outer knee and outer hip are in one line. Try not to let the left knee collapse in, and that's sometimes just the fight you're gonna have. Pull the navel in. Don't tuck the pelvis under to stack the spine. Straighten the left leg. Release the arms. Parallel feet. Bend the knees, walk or jump your feet together. Bend the knees, walk or jump your feet apart. Point the right foot. Turn the left toes in. Now bend the right knee and bring the forearm, right forearm, onto the right thigh. And now bring your left hand onto your left hip. Look at your left groin. Stick your butt out and deepen both inner thighs equally, and then try to stack your trunk on top of the pelvis and the back leg without tucking the pelvis under or losing the depth in the left groin. Come on back up, straighten the right leg, switch the position of the feet. Bend the left knee. Left forearm onto the left thigh, and see if there's a tendency for the right groin to shove forward and keep the left knee on top of the ankle and bring the right hand onto the right hip and take both inner thighs way back and apart and feel the difference in the two sides. That's where this stuff gets interesting. Keeping both groins deep, stack the trunk basically on top of the back leg without tucking the pelvis under or losing the depth in the groins. And come on back up, straighten both legs. Now switch the position of the feet. If you use a block for your hands, you're gonna have a block on the outside of the ankles. Bend the right knee. Start by bringing the right forearm onto the right thigh. This time we're gonna bring the left arm up and over the ear. An extension, and sometimes what happens is once we bring that top arm into work, we forget about the back thigh. Take the back thigh back in space, inner thighs back and apart, just basically sticking your butt out without collapsing the front knee in or locking the back knee. Rotate the trunk open now without tucking the pelvis under. Extend long through that left leg. So if you get your inner thighs back and apart, and then rotate your trunk long into open the navel towards the side wall, you are getting a deep, long expression of the psoas. Back up, both legs straight, switch the position of the feet. The left foot point, the left toes point, bend the left knee, bring the left forearm onto the left thigh, the right arm up and over the ear on this side, and if you want, you're gonna put that left hand on the block or on a floor. Thing about it is, if your right thigh is not deep, if your right groin is not deep, if your psoas is not set back at the back of the right thigh, you are not going to be stretching the psoas successfully in this. Set the right thigh back, lengthen the spine, rotate it open, and engage the abdominal cavity to lengthen the back body, to open the back of the spine. Come on back up to stand. Parallel the feet, bend the knees, walk or jump your feet together. Bend the knees, walk or jump your feet apart. Point the right foot, turn the left toes in. This is about to get much more difficult. So many times in yoga classes, we are twisting with the back heel up, and this, we're gonna keep the back foot grounded. Bend the right knee on top of the right ankle. And if you want to make your life easier, you can bring your left foot out to the side a little bit to create like 2 inches between the legs, which is going to give you a lot more room for rotation. And now with the right knee bent, we're going to twist the trunk around and bring the left elbow across the right knee. Lengthen the trunk forward, twist the left elbow across the right knee and bring the hands towards each other and hands in prayer, and they're dreaming of meeting at the base of the rib cage, And now look at your right hip in relation to your right knee. In an ideal world, we are getting that right hip to line up directly behind, in line with the outer knee, outer hip and outer knee in line. Press the hands together, try to get that hip back in line, lengthen the spine forward to twist it open. Come on back up, straight legs. Switch the position of the feet. Create space between the legs if you need to. Start rotating the trunk towards the front. And the right elbow is going to cross the left knee and the hands are going to come into prayer in front of the heart or towards there or anywhere they get, but try to feel the difference in the two sides. Pressing the hands together isometrically, opening them should put the help put the shoulders on the back. Check out the difference in the two sides. Where is the left hip in relation to the left knee? And now pull that left hip back in line with the left knee if possible. We would like to be equally tight on both sides. So the problem really arises when one side is much different than the other. Slowly, steadily, come back up to stand, parallel feet. Bend the knees, walk or jump your feet together. So we're going to move into slightly more difficult work. We're going to come to the wall. So hopefully you have room at a wall. Bring your mat to a wall. Come onto your hands and knees with your feet up against the baseboard. We're going to do L-shaped handstands into L-shaped splits, which work into your psoas. The deepest way to set this pose up is to have the knees under the hips and the wrist directly under the shoulders. So if you want to be nice to yourself, walk your hands slightly forward and you can give yourself much more space. Take the knees up off the floor. Step one foot up the wall to the height of your hips or higher. Step the other foot to meet it and try to straighten your legs. If you haven't done these before, be nice to yourself. They are very difficult. If there's any problem for me in yoga, it is about a lack of strength in building the back body, and these poses will build your back body. Squeeze the legs, the arms in, straighten the legs, pull the navel to the spine, come on down, take child's pose. You could always walk your hands further out or walk your feet a little higher up. Ultimately, you're looking for an L. You are trying to wake up the muscles at the back of the body. These are muscles, erector spinae, multifidus, they work with your psoas. You need tone in these muscles for the psoas, for the spine to elevate correctly when the psoas is doing the right thing. So these poses are just directly related to a functioning psoas. Come on back up. Hands and knees, take the knees up off the floor. Start with your second foot. Bring the second foot up and come on up. If you can, bring the feet together and the legs together. Stretch the legs straight as you can. Squeeze the arms in. Externally rotate the upper arms. Fire it up. Abdominal muscles tone. You would like to have a tiny arch in your lower back here if that's available. And the abdominal muscles tone around a solid lumbar spine. The more you straighten the legs, the more you use your psoas. Child's pose. Breathe easy. This next variation, I don't teach a ton because I usually use these L shapes purely for strengthening, and this next thing actually makes it easier. But what I want you to work on is squaring the hip. So we're gonna do L shape in a handstand, in a split variation, Hanumanasana variation. Come on up if you wanna move on. Tuck the toes, lift the knees. Step one foot up the wall to the height of the hips. Step the other foot up to meet it. Stretch the leg straight. Now bring the right leg straight up in the air towards the ceiling. Stretch the left leg straight. Square the hips, and then maybe start taking the right leg into the center of the room, but not the right hip. The hips stay square and the right leg goes over. Only if that feels good. Put the right foot back on the wall and either take the left foot into the pose or come down in between for a child's pose. Let's assume you're going to come down in between for child's pose. As soon as you're ready, come back up. And again, you want to do both sides, but you don't have to come back up if you don't want. Take the knees up. Put that second foot up to start, and then straighten both legs. So this is an interesting shape. On one level, taking the left foot now into the center of the room makes it easier to be in the pose, but to try to keep those hips square and bring that left leg to the middle of the room is a whole nother ball game. You gotta use the inner thigh, you gotta turn the hip towards the wall and the inner thigh towards the middle of the room, stretch as much as you can. Child's pose. Okay, come on up, turn around, take downward facing dog with the fingers 5 inches away from the wall. We're gonna do one handstand and then I'm gonna throw a very advanced variation at you and you'll see if you wanna do that. So come on up, take downward facing dog, fingers 5 inches away from the wall. Step one foot in, a little bit, not too much. Move the shoulders forward towards plank. Look at your thumbs, lift the other leg up and hop towards a handstand. Just hop and don't worry about getting up. And then come to child's pose. We're gonna look at a very important thing in handstand, which is your psoas only helps you in handstand if it is not going behind the thigh or faster than the spine, if that makes sense as an image. Come on up again, try your second leg, and I want you to feel how much control you're using in the kicking leg. So set up and down dog, step the opposite foot in just a little bit, move the shoulders towards plank, look at the thumbs, lift the leg up off the floor, and now see how much effort you're putting into that leg, how much lift. Hop and jump towards the handstand. The two things that wanna happen is one, the leg and spine are a solid connected piece, and the hip does not fly open. That lifting hip stays level to the ground. That is using your psoas, child's pose. That is using your psoas correctly, because when the hip flies open, we lose the psoas and we lose the lumbar spine. When the leg moves too fast, we lose the psoas. We increase the curve of the lumbar spine, which takes us out of the tone and power of the psoas. So last one like this, and then we'll move into the split variation. So come on up and do one more handstand and feel the use of that lifting leg. You just don't want to overdo it. You don't want to fly the hip open. So one way to do this is to take that leg that you're lifting and then pigeon toe it. Turn that leg in, turn, let's say you're lifting the left foot, turn the left foot towards the right leg and overly internally rotate that leg and foot and then hop up. And that's one way of keeping that hip turned down and release towards child's pose. So now the advanced variation I'm putting in there because for me, it's my way of stretching my psoas. It's not easy for me to get into my psoas. So to do this, you have to be willing to walk your hands about 4 feet away from the wall or whatever your leg distance is from the wall. So you're gonna set up so you're gonna do split in a handstand. So take downward facing dog with the hands about 3 or so maybe feet away from the wall. You might have to try it a couple of times to figure it out. And then you have to be willing to catch the wall on the other side of you, because that's scary if you don't think the wall is gonna catch you. So see if you wanna do that. You're gonna set up for a big old handstand far away from the wall, kick up and see if you can get 1 foot to the wall. And then the work is to find your way towards Hanumanasana in a handstand with the legs at the same level off the floor and the hips squaring. And you have to work constantly to square the hips and square the hips and square the hips, and then try to switch sides either at the same time or come down in between and then come back up. So that was a whole lot of stuff, and that's an option not everyone is going to take. Come on down if you're still going, and we will come back to the middle of the room to finish up with some small back bends. Lay flat on your back, have a block handy. Bend the knees, place the feet flat to the floor. Put a block between the inner thighs. So we're just gonna look at bridge and its relationship to the psoas, how you do it and how I think it should be done. And maybe you're doing it exactly the way I think it should be done already. For the psoas to work well, we need a crease in the inner thighs, a crease in the hips, where the leg meets the pelvis. Put a tiny arch into your lower back.
here, and I think you should feel that crease in the hips. Now, forget what I'm saying and all the stuff I'm going on about. I want you to now press up into a bridge pose, lift the hips up in the way you naturally do it without my saying anything. And I think that most often you lose the creases in the hips because you thrust the pelvis up to come into the pose, and we lose the arch in the lower back. What happens is when you do that, you lose connection to the block, you lose connection to the inner foot. Lower down. So again, maybe you didn't do that second time, but now let's all come up together, tiny arch in the lower back. Activate the inner thighs against the block, keep the feet grounded, four corners of the feet, tiny arch in the back, deep creases in the hips. Come up to bridge, just don't come up very high. Just come up 2 inches and come up through the arch in the lower back. So kind of stick your butt out, even if you need to exaggerate that to come up. And when you do that, this time you should be connected to the block and grounded to the feet. Now, as you're up, if you want, either do it the way you normally do it, maybe you do it right and do it the wrong way to feel it, tuck your pelvis under and thrust your hips up higher. And I think you lose all the good work. You lose your abs, you lose your pelvic floor, you lose your inner thighs, you lose your feet, slowly lower down. The gluteus maximus, the big butt muscle, moves forward towards the feet, and the pelvic floor moves up towards the throat. And we need that distinction in bridge pose. So what you're gonna try to do now is, the feet are not gonna move, but you're gonna isometrically claw the feet towards your hips, like feel like you can pull them backwards. And that action should take the glutes, gluteus maximus specifically, forward. So now, tiny arch in the lower back, and you're gonna lift up through that arch by clawing the feet backwards, though they're not gonna move, come on up. And to me, that should free your pelvic floor to work with your abs to extend and lengthen the spine into the back bend. Feel free to go up higher if you could do that with a good arch, tiny little arch in the lower back, and the deep groins grounded through the inner thighs and the feet, slowly lower down. So to me, we lose the psoas in the pelvic floor the minute we grip the butt, lose the block, or lose grounding the feet. If you want to do full wheel to finish this series, that's fine. If not, we're going to do a half wheel again. Bring the hands up alongside the ears for full wheel, or keep them by your side for half wheel. It's yogi's choice, but the thing is, there's no difference in the way you go up. There is no thrust. If you tend to go to full wheel by letting your feet turn out, or your knees widening, or your pelvis tucking under, all of those things want to become part of the past. Bring the hands up alongside the ears if you can, and how slowly you move up is key. Press into the hands and feet if you're doing full wheel. Just keep an arch in your lower back if you're doing half wheel. And come on up in full wheel. No thrust. Ease. Knees in line with the ankles. Inner thighs grounded to the block. Inner feet grounded down. The inner foot is connected to your psoas. The inner foot sets your inner thighs back. Stay grounded. Slowly lower back down to the floor. Take the block away. Drop your knees to the right. Open the arms out to the side. You can look over the left shoulder. You can bring that arm higher than the shoulder if you'd like. Come on back up, over to the left. Come on back up, stretch the right leg out, take the left knee into the chest, and twist. Bring the left knee across the right side of the body, arms out to the side, look over the left shoulder. Come on back up, switch legs, right leg out, right knee in, come on over into a twist just to finish up. Look over that right shoulder. Come on back up. Set up for Shavasana, let the palms face up, let the feet open out, let everything release and relax.